I want to get the.
Sorry, I was.
No.
Playing with it all day.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, it has to be perfect to get, you know, the high-res presentation that I need.
And the zoom change. Whatever.
That's fine. I don't think I really need. Spacebar, is it most power?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was there when you thought of this idea. I know you mentioned to me early on, and I was like, yeah, I want to do it, because I'm always complaining about stuff. And this one isn't really a big complaint anymore, because I happen to work at a place that's all Java. But I used to really hate when people hated Java. I am really cool with people like doing their own thing and, you know, whatever's neat and whatever's good for you. I don't try to tell people how to live or how to think. But man, I used to catch so much flack for trying to do anything in Java. So I want to talk about it. This is a true story. First time I used Java, you know, in a professional setting, is we had this chat server sitting on some Solaris machine somewhere, and we wanted to move it somewhere else. So we actually threw it on a floppy, had to figure out how to DB that thing, and then walked it over to another machine running Linux, and the thing worked. And I was like, wow, this is really freaking great. Like, I just took something that we lost the source code, so it was like either get this thing working or not. So we took some binary code from a machine in Solaris, brought it over another machine, and had to run it. No recompile, no nothing, just went. And then other people, other stories, people tell me, oh, you know, that server that's sitting in the corner there, that 386 machine, we can't get rid of it because someone once wrote this app on it. We have no clue how to recompile the thing, right? People with 10 versions of Python on their machine and 6 version of PHP, and they're like, oh, this is great, you know, and you run it from Python 2.6, it doesn't work, you run it on Python 3.0. People who say things are portable, like I need my little Solaris machine, they say this is portable, but you go to take that binary somewhere else, it doesn't run. You go to take the source code on the machine and compile it, it doesn't compile. It's awesome. And then I don't spend all day just recompiling the same things over and over again because we upgrade from FreeBSD 6 to 7 or 8 or whatever. Just copy all the stuff and lo and behold, it still works. So then there's also people who hate Java because they hate OOD for some reason. They'll happily write bash scripts with spaghetti code that you can't trace. But something about OOD in Java just rings them the wrong way. And they're always about, oh yeah, com.mysite.whatever, oh, that package name is terrible. I'm like, what's a better packaging system? I am all open to new ideas if you give me a better packaging system or namespacing system. Usually I see something like this, __Bob __X__my_thing, and there's even a collision on that somehow. And then everybody's like, functional, functional's awesome, it's got to be functional, and then all the app does is write to a database anyway. So it's not like there's no shared state in that programming. So I just wanted to point out some cool things I really like about Java, which are really cool even from like a server world standpoint. Like, you know, I'm a server guy, you know. So JConsole, what's really neat is Java has this remote management system that's got a port open, and you want to know how many instances of a certain object are in memory or how many threads are running. You just connect in and you look at the stuff. Really cool. Out of the box. GUIs, you know, like, it's stupid. Who the hell wants to write a GUI anymore, right? Everything's web-based. But it's actually a very portable GUI system, and, you know, Gnome 3, not even go on that. Like, you know, whenever you realize that the GUI on your system doesn't do what you want, it's like a world apart to try to get it to do something else. Remote debugging. I mean, this is really pretty sweet. Like, when we have like a farm with web servers, and we want to see what's up with one of them, we take our load balancer to lower the traffic on that machine, because, of course, remote debugging is pretty expensive. But we can hook up to it and do some remote debugging. That's pretty damn cool. And then this is always one, these like reports that Java's slow or is this and that, and it's like always you have to quantify these things, and I just like found this little benchmark. I like Googled it and picked the first result that proved my point. But anyway, so this one is just showing this program this guy wrote, and he tried to write it in a whole bunch of languages, and Java came in 1 second. Oh, lo and behold, someone wrote it in C, and it took 3 milliseconds. But then they wrote it in C better, and it took 0 milliseconds. But then they wrote it in PHP, and it took 593, actually, these are microseconds, sorry. So you can see the units there. There's big numbers and small numbers. So I don't know. I just always run into that Java's slow, Java's this. And so I just wanted to point out these really nifty things that I see. That's right. Yeah.
It is loud.
Jimmy, do you adapt? Jimmy, do you adapt the right? Speaking of portability, I don't know. You probably brought in pages. I'm just kidding. Right? Mac pages. What is it? Let's see if we can get it.
Now it's marked.
Yeah, I think it's impressively noticed.
Okay.
I'll take this in.
So, let's see. This is amazing. Let's see if this actually. I don't know if this is working. It does. Okay.
Cool.
So, this is a talk that has actually been in my mind for at least a year and a half. And I have variously given it in my mind three different titles: my BSD wish list, my BSD rant, and my BSD lament. So I'll leave it up to you to decide what it ultimately turns out to be. Okay, so this is personal, right? This is about me, the lamenter, right? Or maybe I'm the ranter. So I'm a relative latecomer to tech, right? I didn't do general purpose computer programming at all before 1999, and as you might suspect, that's fairly late in my life, right? And I wasn't on the internet until that year either. And I wasn't employed in information technology until 6 years ago, right? However, I did learn things that turned out to be the principles of programming, at least in functional languages, when I was a typesetter during the 1980s and the first part of the 1990s, right? And I heard of Unix in the 1980s because the guy who was the system administrator at my tech shop and became a good friend of mine mentioned it, right? And mentioned it in connection with the fact that the typesetting system that we were working on was built around the TDP-11, which I didn't know what that meant at the time, but, you know, I learned, right? And I first heard of Linux in 1997. I remember I was visiting my father in Rochester, my parents in Rochester. I was in the parking lot at Pittsburgh Plaza. The radio in my car worked at the time, and I heard of a show on the public radio station that said, oh, what about that new operating system called Linux, right? I first heard of BSD probably a year or two later, from my best friend, also a former typesetter, right, and also the best friend of the other friend that I mentioned, who had gone to California to ride the internet boom, and who whose OS of choice in his ill-fated startup was FreeBSD. Okay? So this friend gave me an account on FreeBSD on two machines that were sitting under his desk in his apartment in Oakland, California, a dial-up account. But the number one, the fact that it was dial-up, number two, the fact that I didn't know what I was doing, and sadly, number three, the fact that
a year later, the guy basically lost his mind in a traumatic brain injury in an auto accident. Not that I didn't make that much use of it, right? However, in that hang on, I got into my study of Pearl, hence the Pearl t-shirt here, right? And a year later, I attended my first YAPSE, yet another Pearl conference. This is from this current year's conference. And I organized a youth group, Pearl Seminar New York, which which lasted until 2011, and now we're in one of these silly meetup groups, as George said. Right. I installed Red Hat Linux 7.2 as a dual boot on a Windows 98 box. It's still sitting on my desk at home, not turned on for years now. And Linux became my way of learning Unix, and the reason I wanted to learn Unix was because when I started hanging out with Perl people, it was evident that Perl was natively a Unix thing, right, even though I started learning Perl on Windows. Right? I bought this Mac over here in 2004. It's been my principal home machine ever since. Right? Linode, right? I got a Linode account in 2005, installed Debian, and I got it so I could amplify my understanding of Unix, so that ultimately I could switch careers at a very late age and move from being a social worker in a New York State psychiatric hospital to being a techie, right? So I ultimately did switch jobs in April 2006. At that first job, cheat and mail down the street from here, I was issued a Dell desktop, right? And I was told, what Linux distribution do you want to run on your desktop? Your choice. You maintain it. Well, I picked out, somebody gave me a CD for Ubuntu, and I picked that out. The first version I used was a bit rough, but actually by 4 years later, two upgrades later, I was very satisfied with that as in my work desktop machine. Okay. And it was just basically, it was my machine to SSH into a dev server. That dev server was Debian. In other words, we were not supposed to do our development work on our local machines. We were supposed to SSH to do a server, right? And the production machines that I could touch were also running Debian Linux. Though at an earlier point in the company's history, a lot of their core production boxes had been Red Hat or Solaris. And in the last couple of years since I left, I don't know what the heck they're doing, right? All right, so my second IT job I got in July of this year, right? I was there, they take a different approach. They assign everybody a laptop, they say choose Windows or Mac, right? And we develop on these laptops. There is no dev server, right? You develop on your laptop and you push and I don't know what happens there, right? Okay. The production machines are Red Hat, I've been told, but even my boss, who's been there 5 years, isn't quite certain, right? Because I'm now in a development position rather than in a more client solutions position, so I'm pretty far removed from the dev server, right? Okay, so this is the point. Not counting what's under the hood there, right? I haven't been on BSC since 2001. Even though I've attended three of the four New York City BSD cons, and I've attended this group many times since 2006. But why? Well, because it's a 5-minute walk from Cheetah Mill. So I walk down the street and I roll into the bar, right? And I've always found this group stimulating to attend because most of the people here are heavy-duty techies, but not software developers at all, right? And inside the company where I did work and where I did work, the gulf between the people who are the sysadmins and the netadmins on the one hand, the people who are the developers on the other hand, is so enormous they might as well be working in separate companies. Okay, so this is the only place where I get to hang out with sysadmins, netadmins, because that's what I think most of you are, whether you are or not. That's a different question, but that's my impression, that there are not too many other developers here. I don't get into too many arguments about Perl versus Python versus Ruby versus Shell here. Right? I won't even take the bait about Java. Right? So now we come to the question, will I ever work on BSD? There's a good chance that I will never work in something that could be described as a BSD shop. Okay? I'm old, I don't have too many job switches ahead of me. And the places I would tend to move to, the places I have interviewed at, all tend to be Linux shops. I can't say definitively why that is, right? But I don't know too many shops that run BSD. As a matter of fact, the places that I think run BSD, if I were to ask, they wouldn't tell me. In fact, the people who work there can't tell me that they work there. Right? Security. Right? 6 months ago, GNN was standing up here, and I asked him, where do you work? He pointed at somebody over here and said, I work at the same place that guy does. He wouldn't tell me where he works. And so I get the impression, correct or not, that the BSDs in production situations are run only by places, only at places that have been running them an enormously long time, have an enormous amount of technological and human and physical capital invested in those systems, and don't want anybody to know that they use them, right? And there's a certain sector in the New York economy that tends to fit that description, but I'll let you guess what that is, right? Okay, so the question is, do startups, and now I have not really worked at a pure startup, the company I work at now is 5 years in existence, it's not public, hopefully they'll be taken over and we'll all become rich, or the owners will become rich, I won't. But it's the next level cash startup, and Gmail had been a startup that was taken over by a Fortune 500 company. So I don't really know the pure startup situation, but it occurs to me that there is a first, what did Perrin Harkin describe it as? The first person through the door syndrome. In other words, the first chief techie through the door decides on the operating system, and they decide on the database, and they decide on the principal language of development. And then everybody has to sort of conform to that. And it's kind of rare for a place, such as my current place, to actually switch from one generation of their web application that's written in Java to another that's written in Perl and various other stuff. Okay. So the question is BSD the Betamax to Linux's VHS? Now, is there anybody young enough who doesn't know what this analogy means? The friend who got me into Perl, the friend who was running free BSD on his boxes under his apartment in Oakland, California, right? He bought everything. He was a first adopter, always, right? And he adopted beta, and he swore by beta for years and years and years. He was like the last beta consumer standing in New York City, right? Okay, so these are the questions that I think ought to be discussed. And there are a whole bunch of other ancillary questions that could be tossed into the discussion, but I'll leave it at that. Thank you.